Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the White Sox Talk podcast. As always, brought to you by Wintrust, community bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Wintrust, a great place to put your money. You know whose money? Daniel Pulka. When you need a home run in the late innings or you need a break from the hot stove, Daniel Pulka is there for you. And he brought it today here on the podcast. We went about 50 minutes with Daniel Pulka talking about everything from his Twitter feed, the time he called an Uber driver this offseason and the Uber driver wanted to use his bathroom. That's a great story. Talk about the Chicago Bears, Sox Fest, his connection with White Sox fans, Jim Thome. Chevy Chase came up in the conversation. Why 2018 was the best year of his life. And I'm not sure if this is true or not. He says it's true, but he says he takes his bat with him everywhere. The grocery store. He plays basketball with the bat in his hand. I don't know. You're going to hear him talk about this. And we need this confirmed by Daniel Pulka himself. So this was one of my favorite interviews of the offseason here on the podcast. Great stuff from Daniel Pulka. It's Pulka Mania here on the White Sox Talk Podcast.
White Sox, White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
That ball hit deep, way back. Deep to the
field. Holy cow. Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead.
Jimenez leaves the ballpark.
You can't put it on the ball.
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, on the phone, a man who was put on earth to mash baseballs, to tailgate, to go 108ing and watch Chicago Bears football, among other things. He is Daniel Pulka. Daniel Pulka, how you doing, man?
We're going good. You pretty much summed up my whole offseason right there, so I'm glad you covered that.
Mashing baseballs, tailgating, 108ing, and watching Bears football, huh?
That's exactly right. That's it.
What's number one on that list for you right now?
Well, to be completely honest, number one is the workouts right now. I don't want to let anybody down, but That's number one priority.
Yeah. I heard you've lost some weight. Is this true?
Yeah. I actually lost 15 pounds really quick. And then kind of been, I wanted to get a little lower, and I kind of hit a wall once we really started lifting hard. And but I'm pretty close to where I want to be coming into spring training. I can definitely feel it. I mean, I can feel it just sitting around. So that was my number one priority, was to be as lean as I could possibly be with as strong as I could possibly be at the same time.
Because you want to catch baseballs like Adam Engel, is that why you're doing this?
Yeah, 100%. I call Adam often and ask for tips, and he's like, you know, I don't know if you'll ever be as good as me. So I kind of just have to accept that. He's pretty brutally honest with me, which I respect from him.
All right, so if I see you, you're coming to Sox Fest. If I see you, will you look thinner, or it's more of like?
I think you'll definitely see it in my face, but the majority of it was around my gut area, and that has receded dramatically, which is very nice.
Is this less alcohol? Is that what caused this, or less food? How did you do this?
I just I sat down with my trainer, who I've been with forever, and he was just like, "Well, he's like, you're more active than anybody I know. You got to eat a little better, and that's it." So I cut out carbs, and it was really painful for about 2 weeks, and then I just kind of got used to it, and it's, you know, I mean, that was pretty much all it was. I just cut out bread and pasta, which is like my number one foods, my favorite foods. So
I could never do that. How do you cut out bread?
Well, because I want to be in the big leagues. That's pretty much it. I'll give up anything for that. So that's whatever I got to do is I'm going to do it.
So are you over the Bears loss yet or no?
You know, I think there's a lot of positives that go into the loss. I mean, as just dramatic as it was, I was watching it at this Bears pub in Atlanta, and I don't, the clicker on the TV for the timeout clicker was like about 7 seconds delayed. So everybody in there was celebrating, and it was, you know, dead down the middle, and then, they saw the timeout late, and everybody just kind of froze. And
you fell for them icing Parkey.
I did not, because I was like, "There's no way that you don't take a timeout here." And
okay, you're ready for it.
Yeah. So I mean, everybody was celebrating, but I mean, they were well intoxicated, as me and my friend were not. So, everybody's going wild, and then all of a sudden it comes up, and everybody's like, "Oh, man." And we actually had a dinner to catch right after that, so we were standing by the door to watch the kick, and, it was a very odd move. It was just silence, but, you know, I mean, they had a great season. There was way too many positives for people to dwell on that loss. So I think they're in the best direction they've, you know, been in lately. I mean,
oh yeah,
I wasn't an NFL fan until I got to Chicago, and I immediately was like, before I even knew anybody on the team, I was like, I'm going to dedicate the NFL season to the Bears, because I've just never locked in on NFL football. I always liked college football, and it was a lot of fun, and I was just like, you know, if they stink, they stink. If not, then it's going to be even more exciting for me. So I'll be a bandwagon fan, but it was at least before they turned the edge.
No, you hopped on at the perfect time. And I was actually at the game. I already told you this, that my friend had an extra ticket, so I went. We were tailgating before the game in one of the parking lots, and I'm thinking, man, Palka would love this place. He would love to be here right now. I mean, there were RVs everywhere. They're blasting music. This guy got on top of an RV. He was spraying people with cheap champagne. You'd buy it like Walgreens. I'm like, this is Palka mania right here.
Oh, my gosh. It does sound amazing. We definitely were tailgating at all the college games down here, but that was like one of my things I wanted to get to this offseason was to go to a game up there, and the offseason just went so quick. It was like all of a sudden – there was no time to go anywhere, so I missed out. But that sounds absolutely amazing.
Can I share with people a text that you sent me after a win over the Jets this year?
Yeah.
So they beat the Jets, and you text me, you go, "Quality win today, although I think we should start running the triple option."
I take my word back on that, because we got a new coach at Tech, and that guy is a maniac for football, and he's slowly transitioning the triple option out, which is very exciting for me.
Now, you're talking Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And now, why is that exciting for you? Did you, like, run it in high school or something?
No, because Georgia Tech's one of, like, the only Power 5 school that runs the triple option. And, you know, it's just – you don't want to watch a chess match in football. You want to watch checkers. Like, I want to see dudes being
blown
aggressive
up.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, it was tough to watch a test match for the past 10 years. Even though some of those teams we had, Orange Bowl teams, were solid, it's just, I want more Calvin Johnson, you know?
Oh, yeah. So what's your college team?
Georgia Tech.
I mean, but growing up, you grew up in South Carolina.
Yeah, it was Georgia Tech.
It still was Georgia Tech. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep, die hard for all my life, for no reason, too. I'm not really sure why I ever started to like them.
And then the dream came true. You played for them. Did you ever play football in high school?
I didn't. I missed out in high school.
I would think you would have totally played football. How did that not happen?
My eighth grade year, after the season, we had a baseball camp, and College of Charleston offered me a scholarship, and I was luckily somehow mature, a little bit more mature at that age, and I was like, I need to really focus on this, and if this is going to pay for school, then this is what I want to do, ultimately.
All right, so I before we, you know, we sat down here, I Googled on the old internet thing, what does polka mean? What does polka mean? And you immediately go to the Polish-English dictionary. I'm assuming you're Polish, Daniel Polka?
Yeah, bits and pieces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
When I need to be, I am.
Okay, so for these purposes, you are Polish. So yeah. If you go to the Polish-English dictionary, polka translates into English as the word club. Used in a sentence, it says, to beat with a club. That's what your name means in Polish.
I think the word is actually truncheon, but that might sound a little medieval, so they had to change it to club.
Yeah, the other translated words for polka were truncheon, stick, bat, or bludgeon.
Yeah, I love that. I never realized that until maybe 5 years ago. I love that.
It really fits your personality.
Yeah, 100%. I walk around with a baseball bat all day. When I'm in the grocery store, I have my bat with me.
You do not.
Yeah, anything I do.
Wait, you're at the grocery store and you have your bat with you.
When I'm at LA Fitness, I play basketball while holding my bat. So I have to play one-handed the whole entire time. I'm still better than everybody.
I don't believe this. Is this true?
Yeah.
Now, why do you do that?
It's dedication.
All right, I want to see a photo of this because I don't believe you.
Yeah, I'll start sending you photos, whatever you need.
Send me photo. I want to see a photo of you at the grocery store with your bat and playing basketball with your bat. Like, someone has to take a picture of you playing basketball with your bat.
Yeah, sometimes people kick me out of their establishments, but, I mean, I understand that. It's kind of like a no-shirt policy.
No bat policy.
Yeah, I don't think they realized that, 24% of the time last year, I was pretty accurate with that bat.
That's really good. If you can go through life 24% accurate with a bat, you're going to play Major League Baseball.
No, it needs to be a little better than 24%, but...
That's true.
That's still better than, the average Joe walking around with a bat.
Okay, you're right. I was just being nice. You got to get it up to about 28%.
I want you to be honest here. I don't want, any bias because I'm... such a great guy.
I know. I this is the unfiltered me. I will be as truthful and honest with you about everything. I'm not going to suck up to you. I'm not going to brown nose you. I'm going to tell it like it is because that's what you want.
Well, hopefully you guys weren't recording the conversation we had before where you're, just over the top. Yeah. But hopefully that's blacked out.
that tape doesn't exist. I want to talk about, before I get to your Twitter feed, you seem to have, I shouldn't say you seem, you do have this special connection with White Sox fans. I mean, you spent one season so far with the Sox, and there's a growing number of White Sox fans who feel this connection with you, and the feeling, I believe, is mutual. So what is it about Sox fans and you?
What's funny, when I got DFA'd, and I told my dad that before anything came out, not that it would be very public news anyhow, a minor leaguer getting DFA'd, but I told my dad the White Sox claimed me, and he was like, man, that is really good. And I kind of laughed at him. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, if it was the Cubs, you wouldn't have ever fit in on the north side. And I was laughing, and he, because he lived in, him and my mom and brother lived in Chicago for a couple years before I was born, and they're pretty familiar with everything. And he was just like, you just fit in very well on the south side, and it's like lots of Polish people, lots of hardworking people. And he's like, if this works out, I think it's going to be really good for you. And I still laugh every time I think about that conversation, because I thought it was just him being goofy, but I mean, he was dead on as far as the interaction I've had with fans. It's been awesome. And it's like not even one of those things where I like feel obligated to do it. It's just fun to connect with them.
It's interesting. Your dad was right on. I agree with you. And there is a certain personality that really vibes with the South Side mentality. And it's funny that your dad said that. Where did they live when they were in Chicago?
That's a little bit of a mystery to me, because my dad was in the back of this cab with this driver's taking us back to the hotel when I first got called up. He's like, yeah, oh yeah, we lived right across from, I think he said Comiskey, but he had it on the opposite side of the freeway, and the guy was like, no, it was on that side of the freeway. And my dad's like, well, no. And so then it got very blurry right there. And I was like, he hasn't been here in 30 years. He don't know what he's talking about. But they were right downtown. I mean, I remember my dad was taking the train to UIC.
Yeah.
And then, or no, I'm sorry, it's UIT.
Or IIT, is it Illinois Institute? IIT?
I had a sweatshirt all through college. It was IIT, and it was like a 30-year-old sweatshirt. I crushed it.
And that's really close to the field. That's on the other side of the freeway.
Yeah, so they were within 5 miles of that. And then I think they ended up out in Naperville the next year.
I spent a New Year's Eve in Naperville, not this New Year's, but the New Year's before, and I had a great time. See, this is...
Don't try to brown nose to us Napervillians now.
It just seemed like a joke that I could tell, like, oh, your dad was in Naperville, and then he moved in a year. And I just
went
there.
They did get out of there. I don't think they could handle the cold, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and at that time, it was all based on work, too. So, I don't know.
All right, just for the record, everyone in Naperville, I love Naperville. That was just a stupid joke on my part. all right, so let's talk about your Twitter feed. If you don't follow Daniel Palka, you can follow him at Daniel B. Palka. What does the B stand for?
Bennett.
Bennett, okay. So me being the intrepid reporter that I am, I asked our social media coordinator, Mike Piff, to find your very first tweet that you ever sent out.
Oh, boy.
You're okay. Don't worry about it. This was interesting. Your very first tweet came in 2013. It's a photo of you playing at Georgia Tech. And this is what's kind of interesting. It's instead of using your Twitter handle, Georgia Tech tweeted at fake Daniel Palka, and you retweeted that. Was there a fake Daniel Palka account at one point?
Yeah, man. Well, when I made my Twitter, I made it that fake Daniel Palka. Just to add a little mystique to it.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, the Twitter was verifying everybody. And I was like, well, I'm not changing it. And then I changed it because of that reason. And then, like, 6 months went by. And I'm like, okay, this is dumb. They're not going to verify me. And next thing you know, I changed my name. And a week later, everybody else who they, got in touch with got verified. And I was like, oh, man, so I get this email talking about how we can't verify you because your name is fake, Daniel Palka, and it makes some sense. So I eventually had to just change it.
So the real Daniel Palka wanted to be fake Daniel Palka, and you even couldn't. You couldn't, even though you tried.
Yeah, that was just my boring name. I'm just a square.
What were you going to tweet out as the fake Daniel Palka? Were you going to, like, make fun of the real Daniel Palka?
I was going to use it as kind of a double account, a burner account and my own account. So whatever would make me look better at the time.
Now, does the fake Daniel Palka account still exist? Could someone...
No, it's the same account. I just had to change the name.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
So you could, if you wanted to, start tweeting out as fake Daniel Palka again?
I could, but I think I'd lose my blue check.
Okay.
Big risk.
Yeah, you can't go there.
Every once in a while, I get like a free Gatorade or something from having a blue check, so I gotta.
I don't get a free Gatorade from my blue check.
Well, you also weren't very nice to people in Naperville, so it could have something to do with it.
They're not going to let me in the town of Naperville after this.
Yeah, I'm not letting it go.
Okay. Now, your very first tweet on your own was December of 2013. Well, you went deep. I didn't know you were this deep, Daniel Palka. Here we go. Don't forget to pray today because God didn't forget to wake up. Oh, sorry. Let me repeat this. Don't forget to pray today because God didn't forget to wake you up this morning.
Yeah, I love that one. I remember that. I saw that on, I follow a couple nuns, and they always have very, very good stuff to say. And one in particular, I can't remember her name, but she is just awesome. She's got like 100,000 followers on Twitter. And I would always take her stuff. It was always really good. Maybe I should have quoted her, gave her a shout out, but I'm sure.
You just plagiarized. That's what you did.
Yeah, it's okay.
And then you're really into Photoshop. And recently, the Charlotte Knights tweeted a photo of Jim Thome when he played for Charlotte in the 1990s. And what did you do with the photo?
Well, I fixed it because it had just these random logos on it. I don't even know what they were. And it didn't represent Jim at all. So I went ahead and put a couple goats on there. He's a goat. One of the best home run hitters of all time. I mean, top three for sure growing up still. But I went ahead and fixed that for them.
Now, where did you learn Photoshop or how did you do it?
Oh, that was just a zoomed in emoji.
Oh, that's all you did? Okay.
I didn't use Photoshop for that one. But I used to have some really good ones. I'm gonna dig them out of my closet and put them around, throw them out there and see what kind of reaction we get.
Can you give us an idea of what you're talking about?
Oh no, because I don't want people to know if it's real or not or fake or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I think of you and Jim Thome, I see some similarities. Have you guys talked hitting at all? I know you've only been with the team for a year, but I mean, has that happened yet?
I didn't really get to talk hitting with him a lot last year. I mean, he talked to us as a group and, had some great stuff to say. As far as like one-on-one conversation, it was more he'd just walk in the building, shake everybody's hand, say hey to everybody, and, make sure I feel like just in the time I've been around him, he wants to make sure he never leaves anybody out. Feels like one of his greatest qualities. I feel like he's walking by a concession stand person he's never even seen before, and he's going up and shaking their hand.
Yeah. He's the nicest guy on the planet.
Yeah, he's great.
All right, so give me your favorite follows on Twitter. Give me a few of them. Who do you like to follow on Twitter?
Oh, boy. Dang.
I know, throw a curveball at you here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I use it for news, and I guess every once in a while, some entertainment. I don't know, man.
Well, think about it. If something pops in your head, even in the middle of this interview, just say, oh, I like to follow blank.
You know who I would really like to follow more if they were more active on Twitter is Chevy Chase. I found him on there, and because I was watching, just going through Christmas movies, and I was like, I wonder if he has a Twitter, and I followed him anyhow, but I wish that, God, that dude is funny, man. He's like, any movie he's in is hilarious.
I'm glad that you recognize that, because the current generation, or I should say your generation, doesn't seem to appreciate Chevy Chase. Now, there's obviously Christmas Vacation, which everyone likes. But, man, you go to Caddyshack, Fletch, Spies Like Us.
Was unbelievable. I don't think I really appreciated it all until I was, like, in college, though.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get some of the humor. But, I mean, that dude was just the best.
Yeah. He's a little out there nowadays, but okay, I'm going to his Twitter page.
I have no idea about now, so if something happened, then don't quote me on Chevy Chase, but just a big movie fan.
yeah. He describes himself as actor, writer, musician, husband, father, and tremendous slouch. That's from Caddyshack. That's good. Yeah. All right, a couple more things on your Twitter. Here's your best tweet. Just got an Uber, and the dude messaged me before he got to my house and said, can I use your bathroom? I said no. Did that really happen?
Yeah, it did, and it was the weirdest thing ever. I just moved into my house at that time, and yeah, you know, even when you think about it, the whole Uber Lyft thing, as much as I use it weekly, like, you're still getting in the car with a random person. So it's like, you know, it's still already a little bit uncomfortable for some. And then all of a sudden, when that random person asks you to use the bathroom, it'd be like someone knocking on my door and saying, hey, can I use your bathroom? I'm like, no, I'm not letting you in my house. Like, I don't care if it was, you know, like, some famous actor, I'd still be like, I don't think so, man. I'm sorry.
And you're wondering what he's going to do. Is it, you know, if you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, I'm not letting someone, well, yeah, you know, I got to sanitize now.
Yeah.
I don't really have germs, but that's just me. You know, everybody else does.
Exactly. It's part of the Uber Lyft rules. You know, you're just picking up someone. That doesn't give you license to use the person's bathroom in his house.
The thing that blows my mind is there's a Publix, which is like not even a mile from my house. There's a Sprouts a mile away. Like, there is so many great bathroom stops that I've used many times in emergencies. And, you know, I mean, it's right there. I don't mind waiting an extra 5 to 8 minutes.
So when you said no to him and you get into his car and you do this drive, was it kind of an uncomfortable drive after this?
Oh, no. I immediately canceled it and then told the next driver all about it. And the next driver was outraged. He was like, did you report it? And I was like, no, I wasn't going to go that far, because maybe he just was having, you know, some bad luck. And I didn't want the guy to, you know, maybe have an accident in his pants and then get a bad review and a report. So I was like, I just kind of let it slide and said no, and then canceled.
Oh, so he texted this to you. He didn't say it to you in person.
Yep. He said, dropping off current passenger, may I use your bathroom? And I didn't even think about it, man, because I was kind of so mad at the time. I didn't even think about saving it, like the tweet. But then again, I also didn't want to really put anybody under fire, like, you know. So I was just like, it's probably good I didn't save the text.
Oh, man. All right, and the other tweet I like by you is, do you ever wonder if our pets tell their friends, my owner is my spirit human?
Yeah, that was pretty deep itself.
Yeah. What did you mean by that?
I mean, my dog was sitting next to me, and I'm like, you know, everybody's like, oh, my dog's a spirit animal. I'm like, yeah, shut up. Like, you don't even know what your dog's thinking. And then I was just like, I wonder if he thinks I'm his spirit human. Like, I don't know. It was just...
Like, he probably thinks, or he could think, I was put on this earth to be Daniel Palka's dog.
Well, I hope not. I hope it's more like his best friend. But, you know.
Oh, right. Best friend, like your equals.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want him to think, too. Yeah, you know, make sure he's you know, above and beyond taken care of.
What's your dog's name?
His name is Pebbles.
Pebble?
Yeah.
For, like, Pebble Beach or what?
Nah. Name's just Pebbles. My girlfriend named him.
Oh, your girlfriend named him. So there's no story behind it? Just she'd like the name Pebble?
Yeah, she's always wanted a Pomeranian named Pebbles, and I always thought it was weird. And then once I got that little dog, man, I'm like, wow. I mean, not to say I'm not going to get my own dog here soon. That's not 5 pounds. But I still very much appreciate him. We've bonded very much through the years.
Listen, I'm a dog person. I love dogs. Nothing against Pomeranians. I'm just trying to imagine you walking Pebble outside.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I went to a national championship, like, little party get-together.
Yeah.
And we all brought our dogs, and everybody was just kind of like, and, you know, everybody knows I have this dog, but everybody was just kind of like in shock, like, do you realize how weird this looks, you holding a 5-pound dog walking around? And I'm like, no, what's weird about it? Like, you got beef, let's go outside. take the dogs outside, too.
Sticking up for Pebble.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually hilarious, man. When we were in Chicago, there was, like, this on the... There's a dog park on, like, on the roof of the building. And we take him out, there's this... There's, like, a German Shepherd Mastiff mix. It's the biggest dog I've ever seen. And he, like, they're, like, playing with each other. And then all of a sudden, the Mastiff is on its back. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, it's, like, totally submitting to my 5-pound dog. It's the weirdest thing ever. He's got, like, some kind of, like, super brain superpowers where he just dominates every dog.
Is he kind of a type A personality dog?
Which one's type A?
Type A is like, you know, dominant, that kind of thing. Like, yeah, like kind of takes control of situations.
Yep. He's very, it's crazy how a dog with that little of a brain can be so smart, because, like, dog's got to go to the bathroom, he just goes and sits by the door and looks at me.
Yeah.
Unreal.
That is unreal. I still find it, like, magical that my dog can communicate with me. All right, coming up, more of my conversation with Daniel Palka here on the White Sox Talk Podcast. Stick around.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
A couple more things I want to get to. One is Sox Fest, which is January 25th through the 27th. This is your first Sox Fest, right?
Yeah, I'm pumped.
You want a tailgate, don't you?
Well, I don't know if, you know, the Hilton's going to, you know, allow people to do that, but I would very much encourage it.
Like, tailgate on the sidewalk. There isn't really any tailgating space unless you want to go into a parking garage near there.
Yeah, the parking garage is the best place.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The tighter it is, the better.
Why is that?
Just because then you get to talk to more people.
Oh.
And then you can't be shy either. You can't be like, no, get off my tailgate lot. Like, you have to be next to someone you may or may not like.
Are you just going to, like, walk through, like, the hotel and the whole fest by yourself and just kind of, like, you know, take it all in?
I mean...
I wouldn't recommend that. You'd cause a riot.
I don't know about that. But I don't know. I've missed being up there a lot this offseason, so I'm really excited to get up there.
Yeah, you're gonna have a good time. I mean, these are like diehard fans. They come in just to see and meet you guys, and it's a great weekend. You're gonna have a great time.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
So you were talking about, you know, dropping a little bit of weight to, you know, improve your defense. I mean, well, not besides just losing some weight, you've been working on your outfield defense this offseason. So can you kind of explain what you've been working on and where you're at right now?
Well, you know, Debo, that second half really got with me. And
Darryl Boston.
Darryl Boston. We were out there doing drills before every game. And, I mean, we were really putting the time in. But it's one of those things. It's tough to make some adjustments in the middle of the season when it's a physicality adjustment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, so it got better. But that was my first priority getting back, was knowing now I know exactly what I need to do to you know, contribute in the outfield. And I mean, ultimately we just took all those drills that we did, and I do them at the field every day at Georgia Tech. And I mean, the past week has been pretty cold here, not in comparison to you guys, but cold
right.
for us. And it's perfect because we have the indoor football field literally right behind left field at the baseball field, so I go in there and they'll hit balls off the tee to me. And we've been doing about 100 a day and trying to do four times a week. And then my trainer, kind of beforehand, will take me through footwork drills and side-to-side movement and working on breaks and everything.
Do you see progress, or is that something you won't really see until, like, the season begins or spring training?
No, there's 100% been the, like, just in comfort alone, there's been a pretty big jump. And, I mean, it's kind of hard not to. I feel like we've taken about 1,000 fly balls by now. And it's definitely paying off. And not just the fly balls and everything, like, we'll set it up close so I can break in on ground balls side to side and straight at me and just practice my reads. And I'm pretty lucky. I got a bunch of dudes down here. We got the bullpen catcher for the Dodgers who went to Georgia Tech, and he literally works out in the morning with us and then goes over to the field and does whatever we need. And then there's a baseball ops guy that does everything with us too. And then my guy, Jay Hood, who I hit with in the afternoons, will come over and do all the hitting stuff every once in a while in the morning. So it's been a very, like, I think God just throws people in front of you, and I've gotten lucky to have those dudes around me this offseason, because last offseason I can say that I've done nowhere near as much as what I've done to this point, and we still got a month left.
That's great. And you had a conversation with Todd Steverson, the hitting coach for the White Sox, and what was that like? Because we were talking before we started doing the interview, that, you know, there was this kind of, I don't know if it was a profound conversation, but it was really impactful. So what happened in that conversation you had with Trick?
Oh, he kind of he asked me initially, he was like, what do you want to work on this offseason? And I started telling him, I was like, honestly, hitting wise, I felt like that last month in September, and obviously you never, guys like me, you don't ever figure out everything at one time, you know? So it was like, it was a steady progression through the season, some changes here and there and small adjustments. And ultimately I told him, I was like, honestly, I want to just tone down the amount of movement I have in my stride. And That's I was like, mechanically, I felt like I can hit any ball in the zone at any time. It's just I need to pick and choose the times like I did in September, because there was that month there was times to be aggressive and there was times not to be aggressive, and there was times to take your walks and not worry about taking your walk. And you know, it's just, it's all approach based, and we were kind of on the exact same page. He was like, you're dead on. He was like, your mechanics, you're good. And we ended up talking an hour and a half about approaches, just mentalities during the game. And I was just, you know, I'm like, this is a great conversation. And I mean, I hadn't even really started to put in, you know, I'm just dusting the rust off at that point, hitting wise.
Yeah.
You know, it was good to talk about that right when I was starting up hitting, because now, you know, I would sit there and hit, and then every once in a while I'll think about something that we're talking about and throw in a little drill, you know, to fix stuff. And it was just a really good conversation, man.
Are you following the Harper and Machado news at all?
You know, obviously, Machado's stuff's all in your face right now. I kind of paid more attention to the free agent dudes that were working out with us. Shane Robinson, who works out with me, he's told me, he was like, he had no idea. I was like, I think we're going to get, you know, I think there's a good chance Machado might come to Chicago. And he had no idea. And, like, we're kind of the same. Like, we don't really even read in. I don't really read into anything. You know, whatever happens, happens. And, I mean, both of those guys are going to be amazing for whatever franchise they're with, you know.
Right.
It's always a game changer. I mean, and the fact that they're, I don't even know, 26, 27, and just, it's amazing the ability those dudes can bring to the table for a team.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think we're all a little exhausted by the constant slow movement and lack of news, or lack of decision, I should say, about it. All right, two last questions, and then I'll let you go. If you could go back in time and spend a day with a baseball player, who would it be?
Do Roberto Clemente.
Really?
Yeah, I'd have to brush up on my Spanish, but I think if you give me enough time, I could do it.
Now, why Clemente?
He's always been kind of a family favorite in my house, and all the charitable stuff he did. And I mean, he was like just a legitimate five-tool player, and it's just always impressive to see people be so athletic in a time where they don't have as much access to everything as we do.
Good point.
And, I mean, it's just what he's done for, you know, like all Latin players. You know, there's not anybody who can say anything negative about him. You know, and of course, I never even saw him play, but that would be the guy I'd want to hang out with.
Yeah, he had this natural ability. I don't know what he did to train back then, but clearly they didn't have the access and the information that you guys have now. But he was just electric.
Yeah, you look at pictures of the guy. I have a picture of Willie McCovey and him standing next to each other in my room, and just the physicality of the guys, I'm like, how do you look like that in that time? You know what I mean? It was before you even were supposed to look like that athletic.
Right. God given, I guess.
Yeah.
And let's see. You have a funny minor league or little league story that you can tell. Like, you guys all have amazing stories. A lot of them you can't tell because just, you know, it'll incriminate somebody and crazy things happen when you're playing on the road. But do you have a funny story you can tell? Like, I asked Todd Frazier this question a couple years ago when he was with the White Sox, and the story he wanted to tell, I can't believe he still wanted to tell it, was the time he played in Little League Baseball and he took a crap in his pants right in the middle of a game.
Oh, that's not even, I feel like that's not even a, I feel like that's supposed to happen to everybody, man. Like,
what do you mean?
I saw a tweet, I think I saw, I don't know who was tweeting about that in the middle of the season, and they were just, they were like, yeah, I've done that. Like, why would that not be a thing? And I kind of started thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, they're kind of right. Like, there's just times, especially in minor leagues, where you, I mean, you don't got dugout or bathrooms in the dugout. You know, shit can happen.
Literally.
Literally.
Wait, so, did that happen to you? Did you crap in your pants during a minor league baseball game?
Never a full one. Never a full one, but, I mean, there was a time where I had to go to the clubhouse to change, yeah. No big deal.
No big deal?
No big deal. It was cold, man. You don't, your body's numb. South Bend, Indiana, cold.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that one. I wasn't expecting you to double down on Todd Frazier's crap story.
No, I think anybody who says that hasn't happened to them is a liar. And, I mean, there's just no way.
All right, so do you have a story you want to tell that you can tell that's funny or interesting?
I'm trying to think, man. I feel like all my great stories are not nothing I can say, you know.
Yeah.
Out loud.
I did notice you. You once hit a home run. You're playing for South Bend, and you're in Dayton, and you hit a home run that landed on the street.
That's yeah, but cool. That's just business. That's not funny.
Yeah, I know. I haven't lived your life. I can't answer this question. I'm trying to like jog some memories.
I know. I'm trying to think. I don't know. The season I spent with Mark Haley in South Bend, he used to be with the White Sox. I feel like there was just so many things that happened that season where I was like, wow, pro ball is so much different than college baseball. And I'm drawing a blank.
How about Missoula? You were in Missoula, Montana.
Yeah, that was a pretty good spot. We used to, I guess a little interesting tidbit, there's a river right behind the, it's all like, snow water. Everything goes in the river, and we used to jump in that river right after BP every day. That was like the highlight of our season, was getting in the river before the game. It was like a huge cold bath.
You did it in your uniform?
No. Still in some shorts run out there.
Okay, got it. That's it? That's your minor league story, huh?
I guess so, man. I told you earlier, I'm square.
All right, we can't end the podcast on that. We got to end the podcast on something that's, you know, with an exclamation point of something.
Supposed to be, that's your side of this. Supposed to be, read me and be able to, you know, walk me through this stuff.
That's what I have been doing, and you've been kicking butt the whole way through, and then we get to the end. I mean, I thought I was throwing you a softball, like, hey, any story from your entire baseball life, and all you got is you jumping into the river in Missoula, Montana. I just, you know.
Yeah, I don't mix fun with business, man. I guess that's my only problem.
All right, anybody you want to meet at Sox Fest or looking forward to seeing at Sox Fest?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody, but I can't wait to see the 108 dudes. I saw a couple of them at a signing one time, and I recognized them. You know, obviously, I don't like click on everybody's profile and look at their picture, but I recognized the dudes, and they didn't tell me that it was them on Twitter. And afterwards, I was like, "Dang, dude, why didn't these guys say what's up?" Like, they were just all super nice guys. But definitely all the from the 108 dudes. Yeah. That'll be fun to catch up with them. And then I had a dude tweet me today, tell me he was gonna be wearing a Polkamania shirt. So I was like, man, that would be pretty cool to see a couple of those running around. Or if not a couple, maybe there definitely is going to be one. So,
yeah,
you know, whatever. But, I'm just looking forward to it, man. That was, with all honesty, I can say that was the best time I've ever had in my life. And not just because I was in the big leagues, but just being in Chicago was unbelievable.
Yeah. Would you say you kind of came into your own? Not that you didn't know yourself, but that was kind of like some big, like, not to get deep on you, but it was a kind of just a really just profound moment for you to see it kind of, you know, you didn't become an all-star and like that, but you kind of arrived in some fashion, all the hard work that you've put in, and, you know, you get your chance with the White Sox, and then you get a fan base that wants to know you and appreciates you, and there was this special match together, and it was, did that kind of go full circle for you?
I think the funnest thing for me was that, like, as a minor leaguer, you can still be yourself, but if you're just a tad bit outlandish, people are kind of like, oh, what's that guy's deal? And it was fun for me to be able to interact with people so early, like fans so early, that I could be myself. And there was like I think people appreciate when you're yourself. You don't hide, you know, what you're really thinking. It's comical at times. And I think that was my favorite part, was just me being able to be me. Because it's been a while. It's like in college, you get to do whatever you want. And then, you know, until you've like kind of, you know, done something interesting, you're kind of like back to square one. Like, I need to just keep my nose down and do my work and, you know, make sure I'm doing the best I can do. But then when you get to mix in your personality with everything, and that's when it really got fun.
Awesome. Hey, this was great. I'm so glad you took the time to do this. We were trying to do it most of the winter. You were, you know, big timing me a lot, and you know, I didn't take it personally or anything, but I'm glad.
Well, you should have.
But but I'm glad we found time, or I should say you found time. I've been here waiting by the phone for you to call, and it finally happened. So that makes me feel better. But no, I seriously though, good stuff. You're very candid and open and honest about things, and great storyteller, great tweeter, and a great baseball player, great guy too. So thanks for spending time with us here today.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. A lot of fun.
All right, go. You're gonna go hit now.
Yeah, I'm rolling over. It's called the Hood. Last name is Hood, so he's got a pretty cool spot. I'll try to send a picture of you with my bat there.
Okay,
send a picture of me with my bat there.
Of course you're going to be with your bat there. I want to see a bat in your hand playing basketball and going to the grocery store.
All right, yeah, I got you. I will.
Otherwise, I'm not going to believe it. All right. Hey, I'll see you at Sox Fest.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Okay, talk to you later, man. And that is a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast. My thanks to Daniel Palka, who, he's only been here a year, and he's, you know, moving up the charts of my favorite White Sox players I've covered. There's been a whole bunch of them. We've been really, really lucky, us White Sox people who have got to, you know, cheer for, cover, whatever it might be. Some great White Sox players, and Daniel Palka, in only one year, less than a year with the White Sox, he's already, you know, cemented himself in a way as a go-to guy and a favorite, a fan favorite amongst White Sox fans. So thanks to Daniel Palka for appearing here on the podcast. And if you don't follow him on Twitter, it's Daniel B, as in Bennett, Palka. And don't follow the fake Daniel Palka, although I don't think you can anymore. And that's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, community bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.